What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? May I speak in the name of God, his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It is a truth universally acknowledged that sheep are uniquely suited to making a nuisance of themselves. They are disobedient, valetudinarian, stupid, and incredibly foolhardy. Their efforts in this regard often prove newsworthy, be it heroic attempts to get into hotel lifts in Wales, bringing towns to a standstill in Yorkshire, or closing dual carriageways in the home counties. Recently, 14,000 of the poor darlings were set adrift in the Black Sea and narrowly saved from a watery grave after being shipwrecked. Some are kidnapped and rustled, and some, possibly the lucky ones who get away lightly, have their woolly coats painted pink in order to advertise music festivals. Whatever the shenanigan, these woolly chaps are almost certainly helpless and innocent and beholden to the whims of their masters and indeed their manipulators. But there is yet another group who are famous for making a nuisance of themselves. They were a chosen flock of 12 who squabbled and fought, who ran off and doubted, were treacherous, cowardly, and in spite of having the greatest teacher ever, were profoundly thick-headed. No wonder that Christ, time and time again, likens his disciples to sheep. Thank God that Christ is the good and faithful shepherd. God in Christ, of course, encompasses and embodies all virtues, but today we can focus on those which are found in the Good Shepherd. I've identified a few which I'd like to race through now and leave you to chew over as good sheep chew the cud. Perhaps you can keep part of this aside and chew over it again later. The first virtue is patience. Sheep are simple animals, perhaps only a little bit more simple than I am, and they, like us, make the same mistakes over and over again. This reminds us of the need for patience in our own trials and in the care of others. The second virtue of the shepherd is strength. We can see from the cover of our order of service the image of Christ bearing the sheep aloft upon his shoulders. While the Christian faith cherishes those who are weak, it is not in order that they remain that way. In the Magnificat, Mary's great song of praise recorded in the Gospel of St. Luke, we hear that God lifts up the lowly and meek, and elsewhere that his strength is made perfect in our weakness, that he bids the weak to be strong. So make sure to get to the spiritual gymnasium, because muscular Christianity, as toxic as it has been recently, isn't just for 19th century evangelicals. The third shepherd's virtue is sight and foresight. A good shepherd sees danger and opportunity far off and responds to both of those impostors. He keeps wolves at bay and leads the sheep to new pastures. This is the type of vigilance we see in our first lesson this morning. Be sober, be vigilant, St. Peter writes, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, who resists steadfast in the faith. In the last week, I have spent far too much time watching a television programme, Jeremy Clarkson's Farm, on Amazon Prime. Sadly, I'm not enjoying a cash payout for my endorsement here, but Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, if one of your robots is listening, I'm very happy for you to sponsor my sermons if it means bankrolling the Church of England. One of the remarkable and most touching things about this program has been watching the Clarkson of Top Gear and Grand Tour turn into Jeremy, the farmer, and in turn watching this Jeremy soften and transform as he tends his sheep. He went to market and chose them. He bought them at great expense. And then he led them into new pastures. And when the ungrateful bunch munched all the grass in that field, he led them to new pastures again. He built and rebuilt walls and chased them around in order to keep them out of trouble. But they still got into trouble. He was awake at all hours of the night to help deliver his 120 lambs. He was kicked and wrestled to the ground as his sheep were shorn. He left his lunch in order to stop them from causing trouble, only to find out, after rushing across the country, that it was a false alarm. And then he went back to his cold lunch. He did everything he could in his power to preserve and help them to prosper. He was on the verge of tears when three of them were taken to the abattoir. The main theme, which became blatantly obvious in the show, is that once you have sheep, you cannot possibly afford them to go missing. Not even one can get away because they are so deeply precious. The idea that any shepherd or farmer would just cut his losses when even one sheep out of 100 wanders off is ludicrous. There's no way he'll let that just be the end. So to coin a phrase never before heard in church, and I'm sure we all hope never heard again, if Jeremy Clarkson so loveth his sheep which are in the Cotswolds, how much more wilt thy Father in heaven, which is a good shepherd, care for thee? The lesson here is that God, in his everlasting love and mercy, will never stop pursuing you, tending for you, and extending his gift of life and grace to you. But here's the rub, folks, because if Jeremy Clarkson can do it, so can you. Because Christ calls us all, with St. Peter, by the lake after his resurrection, to move from sheep to shepherd and to feed his lambs. God grant us all the grace to follow him and his Son, that great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus Christ, in patience, trust, and obedience, and in doing so, to feed his sheep, empowered by his strength, his patience, and his vision.